This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, I'm here with Joseph Bachan. He is the technical director at Freshenet. How are you, Joseph?
Hola, buen día. ¿Qué tal?
As you can tell, Joseph doesn't actually speak a lot of English, so we have Jep Bagalo from Freshenet who's going to be our translator. How are you, Jep?
Very well, thank you to come. So for us, the yeast is an essential question. It's very important for us in the sense that Freshenet has his own collection of yeast. We have worked with different yeast that we has found in the region, and we has made proof analysis during a lot of years, and now we has choose natural yeast for our from our region that we reproduce systematically in Freshenet to make the first fermentation of the different varieties of grapes. Can variety of grape can make the first fermentation with different kind of yeast. And after, we have another yeast to provoke the second fermentation inside the bottle. We have a scale from 1 to 100. In the positive sense, a good yeast could influence the aromas in 15-20% maximum. In the bad sense, if you choose a bad yeast, this yeast can destroy the sparkling that you are looking for. Talking about the aromas, one of the most important questions is the quality of fruits that you have, and secondly, to make a good fermentation in a good conditions in a good temperature.
What about influences of bubble size based on the yeast that you use? Does the yeast make any difference to the mousse or how the wine feels in the mouth?
The kind of yeast that you use for second fermentation doesn't affect the size of the bubble, for example. The size of a bubble is affected concerning the aging time on cellar. So, but it's very important the concept of the yeast used for the second fermentation, in the sense that we have to choose one kind of yeast able to resist in extreme conditions. In the sense, inside the bottle, the pH is very low, there are a lot of alcohol, and there are not oxygen inside the bottle to be reproduced. So this yeast must transform all the sugar and must complete second fermentation, and no find residual sugar after the second fermentation. And also, the physical behavior of the yeast must facilitate after the remuage, the riddling process. So this is the conditions that for us are essential to choose the best yeast for second fermentation. And later, the bubbles is concerning the aging time that you have the bottle inside the...
So the yeast selection is all about making sure that the fermentation goes through properly and then you can get rid of the yeast afterwards, as opposed to any influence on the sort of bubble sizing. Obviously, all wine regions, as time goes on, they get better and better at making wine. What sort of improvements do you think Freshenet have made in the last, say, 10 years that have improved the quality of cava?
The improvements of Freshenet in the cava sector, it's necessary to talk, first of all, about viticulture. What's happened? When the French varieties like Pinot Noir or Chardonnay has been accepted in the cava council, a lot of people has decided to plant Pinot, Chardonnay, in the very good conditions, to invest money, to plant in a good soils, on trellis, to respect the yields per hectare, and the traditional and autochthonous varieties has overproduction per hectare, for example, no good prunings was applied, and everybody says, no, they are the autochthonous ones, so these ones, they grow by itself, so it's not necessary to take care, it's not necessary to invest in these varieties. But the option for Freshenet was to say, please, every year we organize conference and meetings with growers and producers in Penedès and in Cava region, who says, please, take care about the autochthonous varieties. This is a richness that we have, so we must to invest money. Freshnet can help you in this sense. If you need the technologies to put the all vineyards on trellis for the good treatments or for the good for the best harvest, we can help you. So it's necessary to analyze and to investigate around these autochthonous varieties. So it's interesting to do a good pruning of these varieties, because the quality of grapes is the base of quality of cava. So looking for our local varieties, terroir and investments, we can achieve it. To do the best with our wine varieties, not to think that if a variety comes from another country, has a best privilege, like Chardonnay or Pinot Noir, than a Macabeo Chardonnay. So every variety must be cultivated in the best ways.
Historically, has viticulture been a bit lackadaisical, a bit not so much focused on pruning and yield control and all that sort of thing? Is Macabeo and Chirello and all that sort of stuff suffered from maybe poor viticultural practices in the past?
So it's true that the autochthonous varieties has been affected for bad practice in viticulture, especially the Parellada. The Parellada has been moved from the 300 meters of altitude to the plain with the high yields of production.
Yep.
So this is no sense. So we must to come back to the past to recuperate the finest and the highest quality of this autochthonous variety called Parellada. Another policy of Freshnet is to recuperate in the viticulture quality concept the other autochthonous varieties of this Cava region. For example, near Tarragona, in the region of Conca de Barberà, exists a red variety called Trepat. Trepat is allowed to produce Cava for the blendings. So Freshnet has recuperated this variety in the blendings of rosés.
Oh, okay, so you've been making a rosé with the new variety,
Trepat, and we have, and like a Blanc de Noir too.
Which grape variety?
And with Trepat, it's possible to do for rosés and for the Blanc de Noirs, to produce Blanc de Noirs.
Blanc Noir, so a white wine from a red grape.
So it's another policy of Freshnet to invest, to recuperate this kind of varieties, to get the difference and to get the identity.
Yep.
And also, it's very interesting to looking for the terroir, the good variety adapted in this terroir, and to choose the good clone.
Mm-hmm.
Clones with not enough force of production, so to control the yields authorized per hectare.
Okay, so you're looking for different variety of different clones of, say, Macabeo that's got lower yields, and you're just trying to find the particular genetic version of that that will produce the yields that you're after.
So we must to take care more about our autochthonous varieties, because, for example, a variety called Sumoll is autochthonous of this region. It's a red variety. And nowadays, there are few producers who use it for still wines, for example.
Yeah.
But now, in Australia, they have discovered that Sumoll is very interesting for the blendings in the red wines.
Okay.
So here we have a treasure, and Australia is saying, what are you making with your treasure? So now everybody's running, trying to recuperate the vineyards of Sumoll, but a lot of them has disappeared.
Oh, okay. All right, so you're rediscovering some of your grape varieties. Mm-hmm. And using them. That's quite good. And do you see that going forward? You know, what do you see in the next 10 years? Do you think are going to be the drivers for improvement of Cava and the region?
In the next 10 years, we recuperate the same idea. In the sense, we must invest in viticulture, because the technologies, we have it. Temperature of fermentation, to control the genetic yeasts, etc., etc. But the quality of Cava comes from the fruits. So we must invest more and more in viticulture to produce a high quality of grapes, because we can improve more and more, and we can achieve very an excellence of products. So, in the future, like Champagne region, when you buy a bottle of champagne, you know which kind of product you are buying. So nobody asks if it's in more Pinot Meunier or more Pinot Noir or more Chardonnay. So if we can achieve an excellence of varieties in the future, the people will buy cava just like a product, not regarding if use more Parellada or use more Charello. It will be the aim to get the excellence like a product through the excellence of grapes.
The reason I came down to Barcelona is to attend the climate change conference. You guys were one of the sponsors of that conference. How has climate change affected you guys, or have you noticed any change in climate, and what are you doing to deal with it?
So the weather change is a reality, but in our area we are conscious that it did change from 10 or 12 years back. So what's happened? We are affected for different several dryness every year, so it means that we start the harvest before. So it changed the sociological behavior of the citizens. The temporary workers who are in the harvest time, the cellars opens before to enter the grapes. In the quality, if we are talking about cavas, in this first moment or in a middle term, we think that it doesn't affect. Why? Because we realize that the total acidity in our grapes goes down every year, but this process has started a long time ago. So we have readapt the time of harvest to achieve the good content in acidity.
So you're losing acidity, but you're picking a bit earlier to maintain that freshness in the grape.
And traditionally, in this area, we must to correct the acidity of wines using the tartric.
Oh, okay, so you're adding, you're doing tartric acidity.
Because traditionally the total acidity is very low. So it's a technical question in the sense that the cava of council says, by rules, the acidity of cava must be 4, for example.
pH of 4.
No.
Grams per litre.
Sulfuric grams per litre, 4.
Yep.
The good solution will say, okay, so by rule, the total acidity could be 3.6 of total acidity of sulfuric grams per liter. Why? Because if the acidity of the grapes is going down, we must to correct the wines adding tartric, so it means that the pH goes down. And for the consumer, feels that the product is more aggressive at mouth. So we...
Fresher.
It's more aggressive. Aggressive because we are not balancing the wines. So the feeling is that it's more aggressive at mouth. So it will be interesting to change the rules of the total acidity that the wine, the cava, must got. We know the problem of the total acidity who goes down. So there are a possible solution. If the weather is changing and we have high temperatures, so it means that we increase the alcoholic degree. For the cava, it could be interesting because there are some varieties like Parellada who sometimes get not the enough alcoholic, potential alcoholic degree into the grapes. It's different when we are talking about red grapes to produce red still wines, because what's happened with the weather changing, the temperature is up, so the ripeness is very fast.
Mm-hmm.
The ripeness of sugar, but not the phenolical ripeness.
Not the flavors.
So it means that the tannins are green,
yep.
So the wine is very aggressive at mouth. So this is a real problem for the red still wines. For the cava, this is at the first moment and in a middle time, we can work with it, changing the rules, etc. In a long term, we must to think in to recuperate and to recover ancient areas where we has planted vineyards long time ago.
They were too cold.
Because it will be necessary to find the thermic contrast, in the sense that it will be interesting to put the new year, the new vineyards in 20 years, in areas where the temperatures at night was lower,
mm-hmm.
in the sense to provoke a good ripeness of the grapes.
Just one last question before we head off. You said a wee while ago that you produce non-vintage wines, partly because you don't get any change or very little change in vintage from year to year. That's quite contrast to, say, Champagne, who produce non-vintage wines because they get huge changes in vintage and they need to make a non-vintage to sort of even out some of the poor years with the good years. It's almost like you're both making non-vintage wines, but for almost a completely the opposite reason. Do you want to just comment on that?
We have talked that for us, the vintage, in terms of production or in terms of quality, is not something to regard at when you see a bottle. Oh, it's 2004 or it's 98, because it's very stable. But we use the term of vintage. Eldiu, if we use vintage in the label, it's not to say, okay, this year was excellent. We introduce this information to know the time of aging of this product.
Okay.
Okay? This is information to know the aging time of the product.
So for like a Grand Reserva or...
For example, we use it for Grand Reservas, especially for the Grand Reservas. The law of the Council of Cava oblige the producers to put the vintage into the labels of the grid reserves to know the consumer the aging time of this bottle in the cellar.
Mm-hmm. So Grand Reservas and Reservas?
For the grid reserve, you are obliged to put the vintage. For the Reserva, is optional to the producer.
Yeah.
So you can put the information or not, because the Council of Cava authorizes you to put the Reserva name in your label, but you are not obliged to put the vintage.
Mm-hmm. All right, I think we'll wrap it up there, Josep and Jip. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
You're welcome.